Good morning. Good morning and welcome to our chapel service today. One brief housekeeping thing, first of all, and especially for new students, when you put the hymn books back in the rack between your seats, please put them with the spine down. That keeps the books from breaking and preserves them better. This morning we have a guest preacher. Pastor Matt Brooks is one of the pastors that serves at Mount Olive Lutheran Church. Lutheran Church about four blocks away from campus, just past the hospital. And following the chapel service today, for a period of time, maybe a half hour or so, down in the basement of the chapel, Pastor Brooks will be there to meet and talk with any students who maybe would like to make Mount Olive kind of like your church home during the time that you're here at Bethany. And especially if you wish to commune and take communion, please take time to stop and talk to him and get acquainted with him and so on. So we begin with the hymn today.
Text for our meditation today is Matthew chapter 6, verse 4. I mistakenly thought I was assigned that verse today. So let me read that for you. It says, "Your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." The verse for our meditation today comes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount covers three chapters in the Gospel of St. Matthew. Sandwiched in between the Beatitudes, which are found in Matthew chapter 5, and the Lord's Prayer, which is found in the middle of Matthew chapter 6, there's this little section where Jesus contrasts two differing attitudes: humility and pride. In this section, Jesus reveals to his listeners that he is not concerned about externals, the amount of words people use when they pray, how beautifully they dress when they come to worship him, how much money they place when the offering plate is passed, or even how many people are there in church to listen when the leaders in the church preach. He, the Lord Jesus, is interested in the attitude of the heart. Are my people repentant? Do they exhibit a spirit of humility? Do they recognize that they are grave sinners who have offended me? And are they trusting in themselves for life eternal? Or are they trusting in me for their entry into life eternal? Or are they trusting in their own works, their own righteousness? There was a later time in his ministry where Jesus told a certain parable. In this parable, there was a Pharisee who publicly bragged, "God, I thank you that I am not like those sinners." This one, said Jesus, had received his reward in full. But also in that same parable, a completely different attitude is expressed by a tax collector, a publican, who beat on his breast and cried, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That man, the tax collector, apparently knew something that the Pharisee didn't. That God knew his secrets. God knew his secrets. Now there's a frightening thought, because that means that God knows my secrets. Eventually, as many politicians found out in the past week or have found out in the past months, finally many of our secrets are revealed. But God knows my deepest secrets. God knows what resides in the deepest, darkest corners of my heart. He knows them before anyone else does. Yes, while crowds of people may know our public personas, only God knows both our exteriors and our interiors. He knows if we are completely and totally trusting in him and his righteousness, or if we think we're good enough on our own. Later on in the Gospel of St. Matthew, Jesus said about some of his followers, he calls them those on his right, that they had done many good things for him. Well, his followers can't remember having done any good things for him, and so they ask him, "Lord, when did we ever do anything good for you? Tell us, please. We'd like to remember." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brethren, you did for me." The point is that they were ignorant of the fact that they had done anything good. They were done in secret. They had done their good deeds, and then they, matter of fact, forgot them. The story is told about a 7-year-old boy who wanted to do something nice for his sick mother, who was suffering from a short-term fever. He would make her Kool-Aid, he thought. Simple enough. And so he went to the spice cupboard where his mom kept a lot of ingredients for cooking, and he got a package of Kool-Aid. He dumped it into a pitcher, and he saw in the directions that he was supposed to add sugar, and so he added the proper amount of white granules. He added water and ice. He stirred it. He poured it into a glass, and he took it in to his sick mother. She lifted the glass to her lips but couldn't drink anymore. The Kool-Aid was horrible. After much gagging and coughing, she quickly discovered that what her son must have thought was sugar was salt. It's true that the boy did many things right. He wanted to do something nice for his mother. He added the proper amount of water. He added the white granules. He stirred it all. But one misstep ruined the whole batch. Externally, this boy had messed up everything. On the other hand, look at the motivation of the boy. He wanted to do something nice for his mother. He wanted to nurse her back to health. His whole inward attitude was right and proper. And our loving God in heaven viewed his act of kindness toward his mother as an act of kindness towards him. Though it turned out horrible, God was pleased at this boy's batch of Kool-Aid gone wrong. God views these truly as acts of love because he sees us who are covered in Christ's righteousness doing them. God's own Son lived a perfect, sinless life for you. And through faith, God credits his perfection to you. God sees his Son hanging from the cross, and he sees that your sins were paid for. And that's why God sees your silent, secret, good works as being good, because Jesus is your substitute. Now, Jesus said in this verse that the Father will reward us openly. What else could that be than when on the day of the final judgment, God will say to those who put their trust in him, in front of all mortals and all the heavenly host, "Come, you blessed of my Father, take the inheritance prepared for you." What else could that be than when amid the shouts of joy and trumpet blasts, we ourselves will have a seat at the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom? Jesus once said that those who put their trust in him will receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Tell me, will that not be a reward of grace? Something we can all look forward to? Your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Amen. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you know all of our secrets. You know our exteriors as well as our interiors. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to cover our sins and be our Savior. Through him, we thank you for your great reward. Amen. We continue with stanzas 5 and 6 of hymn 61.